Amy Johnson, the British woman who broke records. I was one of the first British competitive woman pilots, and I broke many flying records. I became very famous. But an accident during the Second World War ended my life at the age of 37. My parents lived in the city of Hull, in England. I was born there on the 1st of July, 1903. The year of my birth was an important one for aviation. Before 1903, people had been able to fly only in balloons and airships. Airships were like balloons with engines. But in 1903, heavier-than-air aeroplanes flew for the first time. Those first aeroplanes didn't fly very far, and they flew in America and New Zealand, far from our home in Hull. But soon, people in Europe were building successful aeroplanes too. In 1909, Louis Blériot flew across the English Channel. Suddenly, the world was getting smaller. My childhood was a happy one. My father was a businessman, and my family had a lot of money. After attending school in Hull, I studied at Sheffield University. I enjoyed the parties and the dances. I enjoyed playing sports. But I also enjoyed studying for an economics degree. My ambition then was to become a businesswoman. So when I left the university in 1925, I took some courses in business studies. These courses and my degree gave me the skills to get a job in a financial company, and I quickly found one. I earned £1 a week. But I hated the job, and I soon left. Then I fell in love for the first time. My parents didn't like my boyfriend. They made me an offer. They said I could take a long holiday in Canada. They wanted me to forget my boyfriend. I thought that they were wrong about him, so I didn't accept their offer. I stayed in England, but I soon decided that my parents were right about my boyfriend. I needed to start my life again. So I decided to leave the north of England and live in London. I found a job with a law company there, and I soon learnt a lot about the law. I worked for that company for 3 years. For 3 years, I was the secretary of a lawyer called William Crocker, and for those 3 years, my life was very conventional. It was exactly like the lives of most other women from families like mine. Then, one day, everything changed for me. The weather was good that day. I decided to ride out of the city on a bus and then take a walk. Soon, I was walking past an airfield. A large sign told me that it belonged to the London Aeroplane Club. Suddenly, I decided to find out about this club. So I walked in and looked for someone to talk to. I quickly discovered that all the members of the club were men. They were surprised to see a woman when I entered their club room. They were more surprised when I asked to join their club and to take flying lessons. As soon as my lessons began, I knew that I had found what I wanted. My future was going to be in the air. I had to become a pilot. My first attempts at flying weren't very successful. My first teacher told me that I could never become a pilot. But I didn't give up my new ambition, and finally I earned my license in July 1929. By then, I was very interested in aeroplanes as machines, so I wanted a ground engineer's license too. I wanted to repair aircraft as well as flying them. In December of the same year, I earned a license to work on engines. I was the first woman in Britain to have a ground engineer's license. Engineering and flying were not careers for women in 1930. Everyone said that. And women didn't travel alone between countries. Everyone said that too. But my father was an unusual man, and he didn't share these opinions. When I told him that I wanted to do all these things, he listened to me. The help that he gave me changed my life forever. To start my new life, I needed an aeroplane. My father and a friend of his gave me some money. With this money, I was able to buy a second-hand Gypsy Moth 60G with a 100-horsepower engine. I named the little aeroplane Jason. Why? Because Jason was the trademark of my father's business. So, now I had my licenses and an aeroplane. I was ready to fly. The question was, where could I fly to? Short journeys in England were easy, and flying to France wasn't difficult. I wanted to do something much more difficult, so I decided to fly to Australia on my own. On the 5th of May, 1930, I set out on my first solo flight between continents. Many people had warned me of the dangers of my plan. They'd reminded me that I had only 75 hours of flying experience. They'd asked me a lot of questions. How could I find airfields when I needed to refuel? How could I fly without getting lost? How could I stay on my course when I was tired and falling asleep? Could I land my aeroplane in the dark? Who could repair the aeroplane when it was damaged? I wasn't scared by these questions. In fact, they increased my wish to succeed. And when I left the ground on that day in May, I took only some simple maps with me in the small cockpit of my aeroplane. My journey lasted 19 days, but nothing went seriously wrong. I flew over mountains and deserts. I flew through heavy rain and freezing cold winds. And once, I had to land in a sandstorm. I stopped to refuel in some very small places, and the people in them had never seen an aeroplane with a woman pilot. My route also allowed me refueling stops at big British-owned airfields in India and Singapore. And finally, on the 24th of May, Jason arrived in the Australian city of Darwin. I had flown 18,600 kilometres. The people of Darwin were surprised to see me, but they gave me a good welcome. I'd hoped to beat Bert Hinkler's speed record for an England to Australia solo flight, but I'd been too slow. I hadn't broken that record, but I had established a new one. I was the first woman to fly solo from Britain to Australia. I was pleased about that, and I was pleased that the Daily Mail newspaper had given me £10,000 to celebrate my flight. I'd established one new record. Now I wanted to break some other records, and I became very competitive. A year after my Australian flight, I set off from London to fly to Moscow in Russia. This time, I wasn't alone. I had a co-pilot, a man called Jack Humphreys, We flew in a puss moth aeroplane. It took us 21 hours to fly the distance of 2,830 kilometers. This was the first time the flight had been completed in less than a day. Another new record. After a short rest, we continued on across Siberia. This was a huge region with very few people in it. We had to choose our stops carefully between the tundra and mountains. And after Siberia, we flew on to Tokyo in Japan. Again, we broke the England-Japan speed record. On my return to Britain, I met Jim Mollison. Jim, who came from Scotland, was also a record-breaking aviator. A few hours after our first meeting, he asked me to marry him. We were flying together at the time. The British newspapers called us the Flying Sweethearts. And on the 29th of July, 1932, we were married. Soon afterwards, I flew solo to Cape Town in South Africa. In the puss moth, the journey took 4 days and 7 hours, a new record. This time, the record which I broke had been established by my own husband. In February 1933, I was happy to receive an honour. I was given the Seagrave Trophy for aviation. And soon after that, Jim and I flew together again. We made a non-stop flight from Wales, in the west of Britain, to the USA. The aeroplane this time was a de Havilland Dragon Rapide. We reached the USA, but we ran out of fuel before we could land at an airfield. We crashed into the ground at Bridgeport, Connecticut. We were both hurt, but not very badly. The flight made us famous in America. People in New York and in Atlantic City gave us a wonderful welcome. When we got back to England, I started on a new career. I began to sell aeroplanes for a company which built them. But soon there were other flights to make and other records to break. I still spent much of my time in the air. In 1934, Jim and I flew to India. We were in a race to reach Australia. An engine problem stopped us in Allahabad. We couldn't continue to Australia, but we had established a new record for a Britain to India flight. After my flight, in 1932, another pilot had broken my Britain to South Africa record. But in 1936, I won it again. This was my last record-breaking flight. In the years before the Second World War, I was a famous person, a celebrity. A composer, Horatio Nichols, wrote a popular song about me called Amy, Wonderful Amy. And several well-known singers recorded it. My photograph was often in the newspapers. It was a tiring life, but a happy one most of the time. One thing made me sad. After 6 years of marriage, Jim and I decided we didn't want to be together anymore. I stopped using the name Amy Mollison, and I became Amy Johnson again. When the war started in 1939, I joined the Air Transport Auxiliary. This was a group of pilots which included many women. We worked with the British Royal Air Force. Many new aeroplanes were built each week. Our job was to fly them from the factories to the military airfields where they were needed. Although women weren't allowed to fly into battle, this was important war work too. On the 5th of January, 1941, I was asked to fly an aeroplane from Blackpool to Oxford. It was quite a short distance for someone with my history. But that flight was my last. The weather over England that day was really bad, and I became lost. I flew much too far east. I ran out of fuel, and my aeroplane crashed into the wide mouth of the River Thames. I died in the very cold water.